of devotion.
Nana Shastra Vicharanayaka Nippano Sat Dharmasang Stapako. Lokanang hitakaranam tribhuvane manyo sharan yakaro. Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajanan Nandena Matalika. Pande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Sri Jiva Gopalaka. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Shri Jiva Gopalaka. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Shri Jiva Gopalaka.
We can recite together. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, so they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha Krishna. And I found this nice excerpt from a letter to Prabhupada wrote to one of his disciples in June of 1970. Quote, "So far our activities in Krishna consciousness are concerned, every one of us should read this book very attentively, because all conclusive statements in the kingdom of bhakti are contained in this transcendental valuable book. It is the essence of all Vedic scriptures, enlightening us about Krishna consciousness. If anyone will read this nectar of devotion very carefully, he or she will have all guidance in bhakti cult. So in the temple class, some portions of this book must be regularly discussed." So now we will begin our class. Today we're studying chapter 16. Trinadapi suniche natarar iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harenama harenama harenamai bhakivalam kalau nasyeva 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 gatiranyata
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Chapter 16, Spontaneous Devotion Further Described. Part 1, Relationship. In the attitude of the denizens of Vrindavan, such as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, is to be found the ideal transcendental concept of being the father and mother of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Factually, no one can become the father or mother of Krishna, but a devotee's possession of such transcendental feelings is called love of Krishna in a parental relationship. The Vrishnis, Krishna's relatives at Dwaraka, also felt like that. So, spontaneous love of Krishna in the parental relationship is found both among these denizens of Dwaraka, who belonged to the dynasty of Vrishni, and among the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Spontaneous love of Krishna, as exhibited by the Vrishnis and the denizens of Vrindavan, is eternally existing in them. In the stage of devotional service, where regulative principles are followed, there is no necessity of discussing this love, for it must develop of itself at a more advanced stage. And previously, we learned from Prabhupada in this Nectar of Devotion that this spontaneous stage of devotional service, you cannot artificially jump, and you can't just artificially say, now I'm going to be a Raganuga devotee. You have to strictly follow sadhana or vaidhi bhakti, as he says here, where regulative principles are followed. That has to be executed strictly. Then gradually, little by little, you come to this spontaneous stage. But it begins with strictly following all the rules and regulations. Let's go to the next section. Eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. Persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees, which means that they are trying to attain to the perfection of those devotees. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly, but don't misinterpret. It doesn't mean that they break the four regulative principles. What he's talking about, the regulative principles, we studied that months ago in this house years ago, but in Kundan Loka months ago, the 64 items of devotional service. That's what that's talking about, which is the platform that we're on. But those four regulative principles that we vow at initiation, everybody, Raganuga and Sadhakas, they strictly follow that. Otherwise, if one is not strictly following the four regulative principles, then one becomes sahajya, and you start to take everything cheaply, and your devotional service becomes material. And as Prabhupada writes, the sahajyas eventually become mayavadis, which Lord Chaitanya says, you're doomed in your spiritual life if you become mayavadi. So let's continue. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature,
they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees, such as Nanda or Yashoda, and they try to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. So that's another term that you hear Prabhupada uses all the time, following in the footsteps. You cannot imitate, but you can follow in their footsteps. You follow their example, but you cannot imitate. Same way, you cannot imitate the spiritual master. You can follow his instructions, follow his path. But if you try to imitate, you will fall down. All right, continue. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. We must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vraja, Vrindavan, is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. And again, that proves what I was saying. Strictly following the four regulative principles. That's what keeps you pure from material contamination, those strict regulative principles. And in the other book, Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says you have to be enthusiastic to follow those four regulative principles. Not just follow them, but enthusiastically follow them. So he's making that you have to become free from material contamination before you can even aspire for this Raganuga spontaneous stage. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there is a stage called Anartha Navritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Now, all of you who have taken initiation, that's the stage you're on. You're on that stage where you are consciously trying to minimize your mistakes, your offenses, and becoming more and more free from material entanglement. There is that verse, it's quoted in the Bhagavad Gita in the purport. It's quoted many times by Prabhupada, where your ado shraddha begins with faith, and by faith you begin to associate with devotees. Once you start to associate with devotees, then you come to the stage of bhajana kriya, which means initiation and following the instructions of the spiritual man. And the next stage is anartha navritti. You know you're making advancement because these anarthas, unwanted things, little by little, consciously you're saying, no more of this nonsense. That is an automatic symptom of someone who's making spiritual advancement. He sees, I'm attached to this, that's got to go. I'm attached to this, I'm attached to this. If one is not noticing that, you're in trouble. You should be noticing, I have all these material attachments. All right, little by little, I have to come to the renounce stage. Even if I'm a householder, I have to, that's the stage of anartha navritti, unwanted things, things that are not actually conducive to your spiritual advancement. And I've seen in you, my lifelong students, that you are doing that. I see that. Okay, so keep going. Let's continue. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, but factually he is not freed from anarthas or unwanted habits. It has been seen that a so-called devotee proclaims himself a follower of Nanda, Yashoda, or the gopis, while at the same time his abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. Again, that's the Prakriti Sahajiyas. They think that by intoxication and illicit sex, they're actually becoming advanced devotees. They somehow concoct a lifestyle. They're still engaging in intoxication and sex, but they think, oh, but actually, I'm advancing. And that's called an hallucination. Such manifestation of divine love is mere imitation and has no value. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should strictly follow the regulative principles of devotional service according to the injunctions of the scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees in Vrindavan. It is said by Srila Rupa Goswami, quote, when one is actually liberated from material contamination, he can always remember an eternal devotee in Vrindavan in order to love Krishna in the same capacity. And developing such an attitude, one will always live in Vrindavan, even within his mind. The purport is that if it is possible, one should go and physically be present at Vrajabhumi Vrindavan and be engaged always in the service of the Lord, following the devotees in Vrajadham, the spiritual realm of Vraja. If it is not possible, however, to be physically present at Vrindavan, one can meditate anywhere upon living in that situation. And I've had personal experience that whenever I read my beautiful Krishna book, if I really get absorbed in Krishna book, I feel very transported. I don't feel I'm in Panama or Santiago or Torrance. If I really just get absorbed in Krishna book, I can get a glimpse of Vrindavan. Prabhupada's books are so powerful that if you can get absorbed, it can transport you. Wherever he may be, one must always think about life in Vrajadham and about following in the footsteps of a particular devotee in the service of the Lord. A devotee who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, who is constantly engaged in devotional service, should not manifest himself even though he has attained perfection. So that's keeping in line what Lord Chaitanya says, humility, humility. You don't advertise. Just like people who win the lottery, usually they go away because they know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, they're going to get phone calls from people who all of a sudden now are their friend. So they usually go away. So the same way, when you actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness, you're not going to, you know, put a sign on your car, I am an advanced pure devotee. No. You'll want to keep it quiet. Like nobody goes and puts on the internet, this is how much I make every year. No. And even Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam that you keep your finances very personal. You don't broadcast. So in the same way, this is the point Prabhupada is making. Should not manifest himself even though he has attained perfection. The idea is that he should always continue to act as a neophyte devotee as long as his material body is there. So on this point, and this is not in the book now, what I'm going to read is an example of what Prabhupada was just talking about. This last sentence. One should always continue to act as a neophyte, even though one has attained. So I found this nice excerpt from the Chaitanya Charitamrita concerning Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Madhavendra Puri is the seed of the Chaitanya tree. The Chaitanya tree is what is described in the Adi Lila chapter 9, the tree of Lord Chaitanya as the tree, the gardener, because Lord Chaitanya wants to fill the universe with love of Godhead. And Prabhupada writes there that ISKCON is a branch of that Chaitanya tree. So here's a description of Madhavendra Puri from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhavendra Puri left the temple and sat down in the village marketplace, which was vacant. Sitting there, he began to chant. In the meantime, the temple priest laid the deity down to rest. Although Madhavendra Puri was not interested in eating and sleeping, his interest in chanting the Maha Mantra was as acute as if he were an aspiring transcendentalist rather than a Paramahansa. This means that even in the Paramahansa stage, one cannot give up chanting. And there's another purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada criticizes. He says that some people, they think that they are very, very advanced, but they have given up chanting. So that's not a sign that you're, no one's, you should never believe someone, I'm so advanced, I don't have to chant. If someone says like that, thank you very much. I'm not talking about that. Are they chanting? Are they hearing? That's the key. If they do fast, that's okay, so long as they're hearing the syllables. Okay? So Prabhupada continues, this means that even in the Paramahansa stage, one cannot give up chanting. Haridas Thakur and the Goswamis were all engaged in chanting a fixed number of rounds. Therefore, chanting on beads is very important for everyone, even though one may become a Paramahansa. And in the same connection, when Haridas Thakur was dying and he was chanting his japa very slow, and Lord Chaitanya came to him, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you don't have to chant so many rounds. You are already liberated. But that wasn't the problem for Haridas. Haridas' problem was he knew that Lord Chaitanya was going to leave. So he didn't want to experience that. So he said, let me give up my body before you, in front of you. But Haridas Thakur was chanting his 300,000 names rigidly throughout the whole life, even in old age. This chanting can be executed anywhere, either inside or outside the temple. And that's another question people sometimes ask. Right? No hard and fast rule. Whether you're inside or outside the temple, you can chant. Madhavendra Puri even sat down in a vacant marketplace to perform his chanting. And Gorakishore Das Babaji, where was he doing his chanting? By the latrine. And you all know in India, the latrine. That's not the desirable place to chant japa. But he did it because he didn't want anyone to disturb him. So he figured, I won't be disturbed by everybody wanting me to give blessings if I do my chanting next to the outside latrine. So he had a reason for that. What's wrong with the No, you can, but it's not a very... Yes. You know in India, outside, latrine. You all know in India better than me. I've had to use. I know what it's like. Or if you in New York, if you have to use the subway bathrooms. So you're not going to, that's not preferred, but Gaurikishore Das Babaji, he's transcendental. Let's go. As stated by Srinivasacharya in his prayers to the Goswamis, Namagana Natabi. A Paramahansa devotee is always engaged in chanting and rendering loving service to the Lord. Chanting the Lord's holy name and engaging in his service are identical. So keep that in mind. Your japa is also your service. You may be, let's say you have a temple service. That's good. But that doesn't replace your chanting. And that has been the downfall of many a devotee, that he or she gets all this service and then starts to neglect this service. So you may get lots of service. That's wonderful. That's coming from Krishna. But I've read 100 times that purport where Prabhupada says, this is your first service. This is the first instruction of the spiritual master. So not that, oh, now I'm advanced, now I'm in charge of BBT, now I'm GBC, now I'm guru, now I'm this and that. I don't have time for job. You, whatever your position, this has to come first. And as I said, that has been the cause of many an ISKCON fall down. So always remember that. This is your first service. Chanting the Lord's holy names and engaging in his service are identical. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 9 kinds of devotional service. Hearing, Shravanam. Chanting, Kirtanam. Remembering, Vishnu Smaranam. Serving, Padasevanam. Worship of the deity, Archanam. Praying, Vandanam. Carrying out orders, Dasyam. Serving him as a friend, Sakyam, and sacrificing everything for the Lord, Atma Nivedanam. Although each process appears distinct, when one is situated on the absolute platform, he can see that they are identical. For instance, hearing is as good as chanting, and remembering is as good as chanting or hearing. Similarly, engaging in deity worship is as good as chanting, hearing, or remembering. The devotee is expected to accept all 9 processes of devotional service. But even if only 1 process is properly executed, he can still attain the highest position, Paramahansa, and go back home, back to Godhead. That ends the excerpt on Madhavendra Puri. Let us continue with today's chapter. Activities on devotional service under regulative principles must be followed even by the pure devotee. But when he or she realizes one's actual position in relationship with the Lord, one can, along with the discharging of regulative service, think within him or herself of the Lord under the guidance of a particular associate of the Lord and develop his or her transcendental sentiments in following that associate. So, externally, you're behaving like everybody else. Internally, he just gave you the clue. It's internal. You don't need to advertise. You don't need to tell anybody. In this connection, now here Prabhupada's getting, what, Prabhu? I don't know the page number. In this connection, you got that? All right. In this connection, we should be careful about the so-called Siddha Pranali. The Siddha Pranali process is followed by a class of men who are not very authorized and who have manufactured their own way of devotional service. They imagine that they have become associates of the Lord simply by thinking of themselves like that. This external behavior is not at all according to the regulative principles. The so-called Siddha Pranali process is followed by the Prakriti Sahajiya, a pseudo-sect of so-called Vaishnavas. In the opinion of Rupa Goswami, such activities are simply disturbances to the standard way of devotional service. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very heavy in preaching against the Prakriti Sahajiyas. That was one of his big fights, was always blasting these Prakriti Sahajiyas. Just like Prabhupada's mantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Prabhupada, in his books, wherever he gets the chance, blast the impersonalist, blast the Mayavadis, because that's his mission. Sri Rupa Goswami says that learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regulative principles even after the development of spontaneous love for Krishna. According to the regulative principles, there are 9 departmental activities as described above, and one should specifically engage him or herself in the type of devotional service for which he has a natural aptitude. For example, one person may have a particular interest in hearing. Another may have a particular interest in chanting. Another may have a particular interest in serving in the temple. And as you older students, you have seen this in yourself. You probably have noticed that you have a leaning toward a particular process. So these, or any of the other 6 different types of devotional service, remembering, serving, praying, engaging in some particular service, being in a friendly relationship, or offering everything in one's possession, should be executed in full earnestness. In this way, everyone should act according to his particular taste. But I add, that doesn't mean that now I can give up. That's, sorry, you took a vow. As I've said many times, we didn't take a vow to read Bhagavad Gita. Did you make that vow at the time of initiation? You didn't take a vow to do anything other than follow the 4 regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. Those are the vows you made. Everything else assists, everything else helps, but as far as the vow, this was the vow you made, to chant minimum 16 rounds and strictly follow the 4 regulative principles. That's the vow. We should not be confused. That's the vow. Next item, conjugal love. Devotional service, following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan or the queens at Dwaraka, is called devotional service in conjugal love. This devotional service in conjugal love can be divided into 2 categories. One is indirect conjugal love, the other direct. In both of these categories, one has to follow the particular gopi who is engaged in such service in Goloka Vrindavan. To be directly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love is technically called keli. This keli performance means to directly join with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are other devotees who do not wish direct contact with the Supreme Person, but who relish the conjugal love affairs of the Lord with the devotees. Such devotees enjoy simply by hearing of the activities of the Lord with the gopis. This development of conjugal love can be possible only with those who are already engaged in following the regulative principles of devotional service, specifically in the worship of Radha and Krishna in the temple. Such devotees, gradually develop a spontaneous love for the deity, and by hearing of the Lord's exchange of loving affairs with the gopis, they gradually become attracted to these pastimes. After this spontaneous attraction becomes highly developed, the devotee is placed in either of the above-mentioned categories. This development of conjugal love for Krishna is not manifested in women only. The material body has nothing to do with spiritual loving affairs. A woman may develop an attitude for becoming a friend of Krishna, and similarly, a man may develop the feature of becoming a gopi in Vrindavan. How a devotee in the form of a man can desire to become a gopi is stated in the Padma Purana as follows. In days gone by, there were many sages in Dandakaranya. Dandakaranya is the name of the forest where Lord Ramachandra lived after being banished by his father for 14 years. At that time, there were many advanced sages who were captivated by the beauty of Lord Ramachandra and who desired to become women in order to embrace the Lord. Later on, these sages appeared in Goloka Vrindavan when Krishna advented himself there, and they were born as gopis or girlfriends of Krishna. In this way, they attained the perfection of spiritual life. The story of the sages of Dandakaranya can be explained as follows. When Lord Ramachandra was residing in Dandakaranya, the sages who were engaged in devotional service there became attracted by his beauty and immediately thought of the gopis at Vrindavan who enjoyed conjugal loving affection with Krishna. In this instance, it is clear that the sages of Dandakaranya desired conjugal love in the manner of the gopis, although they were well aware of the Supreme Lord as both Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. They knew that although Ramachandra was an ideal king and could not accept more than one wife, Lord Krishna, being the full-fledged personality of Godhead, could fulfill the desires of all of them in Vrindavan. These sages also concluded that the form of Lord Krishna is more attractive than that of Lord Ramachandra, and so they prayed to become gopis in their future lives to be associated with Krishna. Now, this reminds us of what we learned previously when we studied the 64 qualities of Krishna. The living entity can exhibit 50 of the 64 qualities to a minute degree. Lord Shiva manifests 55. Lord Narayan manifests 60. So Lord Ramachandra is Narayan, but Krishna has 4 unique qualities, and one of those was exceptional beauty. So that's what's being mentioned here. Lord Krishna is more attractive because he has that exceptional beauty. Lord Ramachandra remained silent, and his silence shows that he accepted the prayers of the sages. Thus, they were blessed by Lord Ramachandra to have association with Lord Krishna in their future lives. As a result of this benediction, they all took birth as women in the wombs of gopis at Gokula, and as they had desired in their previous lives, they enjoyed the company of Lord Krishna, who was present at that time in Goloka Vrindavan. And that story is there in Krishna book and in Bhagavatam, that when Krishna began the rasa dance and he played his flute, the gopis who assembled were from different groups, different categories. Some of the gopis were the eternal associates, Radharani and others. But then Prabhupada makes the point in Krishna book, some were being promoted, and it was mentioned, these sages in Dandakaranya, they were being promoted. They were sages, but now they're being promoted to the status of gopis. And when we did the last Anakut program here, I played the recording. The last thing I did before we had Arti, I played the recording, and Prabhupada said, the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement is to become one of the Gopi Jana. He was directly saying that. So you also can become promoted. That's exactly, Prabhupada said it. We all heard it. And I even rang the bell when he said it. That is the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement. Now let's continue. The perfection of their human form of life was thus achieved by their generating a transcendental sentiment to share conjugal love with Lord Krishna. Conjugal love is divided into two classifications, namely conjugal love as husband and wife, and conjugal love as lover and beloved. One who develops conjugal love for Krishna as a wife is promoted to Dwaraka, where the devotee becomes the queen of the Lord. One who develops conjugal love for Krishna as a lover is promoted to Goloka Vrindavan to associate with the gopis and enjoy loving affairs with Krishna there. We should note carefully, however, that this conjugal love for Krishna, either as a gopi or as a queen, is not limited only to women. In other words, what now in the human form? That's the context. Okay, it's, in other words, whether you're a man and woman, doesn't matter. As the sages of Dandakaranya, they were all men, but they had developed that affection for Lord Ram. Even men can develop such sentiments, as was evidenced by the sages of Dandakaranya. If someone simply desires conjugal love but does not follow in the footsteps of the gopis, he is promoted to association with the Lord at Dwaraka. And there's the famous incident in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is discussing with the South Indian Brahmin Venkatabhat. And Lord Chaitanya teases him by saying, your worshipable goddess Lakshmi tried to enter the rasa dance but was not allowed. Do you have an answer for this? And Venkatabhat said, no, I don't. So Lord Chaitanya explained, it was because Lakshmi tried to enter the rasa dance as Lakshmi. But who are the only people who are permitted in the rasa dance? You have to be gopi, bhava, rasamrita, lilahari. You have to have that gopi form. So that was the point being made. And then the Sahajiyas, what did they do? Oh, I have to be a gopi? All right, give me a sari. Yes. Even the men who are Sahajiya, they think, I will dress up as a gopi with sari and everything, and I'll be eligible to participate in rasa dance. No, that's artificial. It's not an honor. You can't pretend. Let us continue. So notice again the word was used, promoted. Just like at your job. You all have your jobs, right? So you cannot just all of a sudden say, now I am vice president. It doesn't work that way. You have to actually be promoted. Not that you put on your desk, now I'm vice president. No, get out. You have to actually get promoted by the person who's able to promote you in your job. Not that, okay, I'm going to now get a jacket, chief man. Come on. You have to actually get promoted. So the same way in spiritual life. You can't just artificially say, now I'm gopi. Bow down. No. Neither can you, like, same thing, not that you can artificially say, now I'm guru, or now I'm GB. No, you have to actually get that award from those who are able to give. Let's continue. In the Mahakurma Purana, it is stated, quote, great sages who were sons of fire gods rigidly followed the regulative... Yeah, see that again? Same thing. Rigidly followed the regulative principles in their desire to have conjugal love for Krishna. So the same point is being stressed. Rigidly following the regulative principles. As such, in their next lives, they were able to associate with the Lord, the origin of all creation, who is known as, everybody say, Vasudeva Krishna, and all of them got him as their husband. Next, parenthood or friendship. Devotees who are attracted to Krishna as parents or as friends should follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj or Subal, respectively. Nanda Maharaj is the foster father of Krishna, and out of all of the friends of Krishna, Subal is the most intimate in Rajabhumi. In the development of becoming either the father or friend of the Lord, there are two varieties. One method is that one may try to become the father of the Lord directly, and the other is that one may follow Nanda Maharaj and cherish the ideal of being Krishna's father. Out of these two, the attempt to directly become the father of Krishna is not recommended. Such a development can become polluted with Mayavad impersonal philosophy. The Mayavadis or monists think that they themselves are Krishna, and if one thinks that he or himself has become Nanda Maharaj, then his parental love will become contaminated with the Mayavad philosophy. The Mayavad philosophical way of thinking is offensive, and no offender can enter into the kingdom of God to associate with Krishna. In the Skanda Purana, there is a story of an old man residing in Hastinapur, capital of the kingdom of the Pandus, who desired Krishna as his beloved son. This old man was instructed by Narada to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, and thus he achieved success. There is a statement in the Narayana Vyuha Stava prayers that persons who are always engaged in thinking of the Lord as their husband, friend, father, or well-wisher are always worshipable by everyone. This spontaneous love for Krishna can be developed only by the special mercy of Krishna or his pure devotee. You're going to like this next part, Krishna Prem. This process of devotional service is sometimes called
Pushti Marg. Your father was a Pushti Margi, right? And your mother. Yes? Pushti means nourishing, and Marga means path. Such development of sentiment nourishes devotional service to the highest standard. Thus, it is called the path of nourishment, or Pushti Marg. The Vallabha Sampradaya, which belongs to the Vishnu Swami sect of Vaishnava religion, worships Krishna in this Pushti Marg. Generally, devotees in Gujarat worship Bala Krishna under this heading of Pushti Marg. And that ends today's chapter. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.